Hello, and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're looking at three highly ranked large cap stocks to consider buying now. But before we get into everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. All right, so if you're paying attention to the market, which was kind of hard to over the last week, so stocks are coming off their best stretch since April, with the S&P 500 up over 7% last week, the Dow up around 7%, and the Nasdaq up about 9% last week. We then saw all three major U.S. indexes climb to new records on Monday, and obviously last week's climb came as Wall Street seemed pleased enough with the prospects of a relatively quick election results and the possibility of divided government. A little gridlock in Washington never hurt anybody is what it seems to be the basic premise on Wall Street. Then on Monday, we got the news that Pfizer and its partner at BioNTech said that their COVID-19 vaccine candidate is more than 90% effective in preventing infections based on its interim data analysis. The company then said, obviously, the safety evaluation is ongoing, but there have been no serious issues observed so far in the trial. And obviously, this helps send stocks booming. Pfizer expects to apply for emergency use authorization in the U.S. With U.S. regulators before the end of the month and could have a green light to distribute the vaccine by the end of the year. So obviously, this is something the market has been hoping for a long time. And obviously, it's still some uncertainty, but some big news from Pfizer and their partner out today. This helped all of the social distancing stocks from the travel and hospitality industries. So you had the likes of Royal Caribbean and other big companies jumping as high as 30% through morning trading. But with all this said, today we're going to focus on three highly ranked large cap stocks that are poised to grow and were poised to grow even before any of this vaccine possibility news. So we're not all of a sudden going to jump in these stocks as a big bet on the vaccine being widely available and effective and people now rushing back to cruise ships or anything like that. So with this in mind, we're going to start with FedEx, which trades under the ticker FDX. The company posted its blowout quarter results in mid-September that highlighted, once again, its ability to thrive during the coronavirus in this broader e-commerce world we're slowly diving deeper and deeper into. So we're going to just do a brief overview of FedEx. The gist of it all. So FedEx shares had been falling over the last several years as its longer-term earnings outlook continued to fall. FedEx then surprised some on Wall Street when it essentially cut ties with Amazon last summer, so the summer of 2019. Company executives apparently didn't want to be in business with the company that had its own shipping and logistics aspirations. And FedEx did note at the time that Amazon represented only a small portion of its sales. Since then, the company has focused on doing business with all of Amazon's competitors. So all the other major players in traditional retail, such as Walmart and Target, that have all gone full on into the e-commerce world as well. So meanwhile, you saw the Memphis, Tennessee-based firm is bolstering its automation efforts and modernizing its express air fleet. And as we mentioned, the longer-term plan is to attract more e-commerce and business-to-consumer clients while remaining also a business-to-business heavy operation. So now we're going to look at what's gone on so far during the pandemic. So FedEx topped our bottom line estimates by 80% in its fiscal fourth quarter as it gained momentum in its business consumer space. And its sales still slipped over 2% on the back of declines in its higher margin express air shipment business. But Wall Street was convinced at the time that its B2B focused segment would bounce back while its digital commerce division continued to grow. And obviously, at this point, they were proven to be right. FedEx then smashed our Q1 fiscal 2021 results, as we just mentioned, in mid-September by nearly 90%, with its adjusted earnings up 60% from the year-ago period, with revenue up over 13% to over $19 billion for the three-month period ended on August 31st. This marked its strongest sales growth since the fourth quarter of what was its fiscal 2017 year. So the firm's ground shipment segment jumped during the summer months as consumers continued their massive digital shopping sprees. FedEx also benefited from declines in international passenger flights, as businesses had fewer opportunities to use that extra cargo space on commercial flights to stick some of their packages. FedEx Express saw its adjusted income more than double, while its ground operating income jumped 30%, with freight up 41%. Clearly, the company had a great quarter in Q1. We should also note that looking ahead, they're expecting their overall e-commerce market to explode, and that they get to be a part of this big explosion. So pre-COVID, we projected that the U.S. domestic market would hit 100 million packages per day by calendar year 2026. We now project that the U.S. domestic parcel market will hit this mark by calendar year 2023. And this is according to their chief marketing officer on their latest earnings call. So COVID has cut in half the time they thought it would take for the U.S. Domestic market to reach 100 million packages per day. So obviously this is good news for not only FedEx, but some of its core competitors, such as United Parcel Service, DHL, the U.S. Postal Service as well. So FedEx is projecting that 96% of this anticipated growth will come from e-commerce. E-commerce is going to be the phrase that you'll hear, not just from retailers, but obviously FedEx and these other shipping companies as well for years to come. And we should note that in this last quarter, we have the most recent numbers for Q2. E-commerce accounted for only 16% of total U.S. retail sales. And this is according to U.S. Census data. And this is despite near perfect conditions. It was up from about 12% in the year ago period. So still miles more to climb for that e-commerce market. And the company also is preparing to hire far more seasonal and holiday workers than it did last year. And it's rolling out extra fees, mostly aimed at larger customers to help out during these high traffic season that we're heading into now. We're actually already in it this holiday shopping season to manage some of its costs and its volume. So looking ahead, our Zacks estimates are calling for its current quarter revenue to jump about 11%, with adjusted earnings set to climb over 51%. And then looking ahead, its full year revenue is expected to climb about 11%, with its bottom line expected to climb 64%. And then we're expecting another year of growth that next year. So another 5% growth on the top line and another 10% growth on the bottom line is what we're calling for. So the continuation of some solid growth for FedEx. We should also note that its bottom line revisions help it earn a Zacks ranked number one strong buy right now, alongside an A grade for growth in our style score system. The company's transportation, air freight, and cargo industry also rests in the top 2% of our over 250 Zacks industries, and its 1% dividend yield roughly matches in just about, it tops as of this morning, the 10-year U.S. Treasury note. The stock is up about 75% in 2020, now 65% in the last 12 months, and 33% in the last 3 months alone. We should note that the stock did fall on Monday, and it's part of a little bit of a recent downward trend from its highs. It's now resting about 10% off its recent records, which could set up a better buying opportunity for anyone who's high on FedEx long term. And now we're going to move on to another company that was thriving well before any of this vaccine news and won't necessarily need the vaccine to get up and running any farther. So this is Nike, which trades under the ticker NKE. Wall Street had cheered its stock since the market's March lows. The sportswear powerhouse has soared 100% to double the S&P 500 over this stretch, and it's come in just ahead of Lululemon. And the climb comes despite the fact that Nike's overall sales have fallen in the last two quarters. So we're going to dive into why there's all of this great hype behind Nike on Wall Street, despite its sales actually falling the past two quarters. So you could argue that the company is more influential than ever. Nike has managed to stay on top of a very fickle industry for decades because of its ability to create trends and attach its brand to the biggest sports, athletes, cultural icons in the world. And despite challenges from Lululemon and other new players, as well as a resurgent Adidas, it's not hard to argue that Nike's influence over sports and fashion has never been larger. Shoes are hot commodities all over the secondary sneaker market, and it cemented its place in two of the world's most popular sports, and this is soccer in basketball. And plus, it is the official sponsor of the NFL, which is the richest and most important league in the United States. So those are three key sports in the U.S. and around the globe. The company also plays a key role in the world where consumers are dressed more relaxed than ever. Sneakers are acceptable footwear in offices in many places. All of this has helped Nike remain one of the world's most valuable brands. And this is according to Forbes annual list. And this is alongside the likes of McDonald's and Disney and Apple and others. So you get the gist. Nike is still as important as ever, despite all of its newcomers in a market that's continuing to explode as people dress more and more casual in more environments. So we should also note that Nike has been transitioning to its higher margin direct-to-consumer model for years, as it saw the Amazon age coming maybe ahead of some of its peers. This includes multiple dedicated shopping apps. It now has an insane reach across Instagram, where consumers now shop directly. And more recently, the company has continued to beef up and digitalize its supply chain. And despite its direct-to-consumer push, this digital push, it has also narrowed down its brick-and-mortar focus. It's still invested in brick and mortar. This includes in its own high value stores in high value cities, such as the Parises and Shanghais and New Yorks of the world, and improving its strategic partnerships with the likes of Foot Locker and others. And as we touched on at the outset, Nike's Q4 FY20 sales actually fell 38%. So this was at the height of the coronavirus lockdowns. So its stores were negatively impacted because they were closed as they were, quote, deemed non-essential. And then Nike's first quarter results, which it reported on September 22nd, then dipped by only 1%. So it fell 38% in what was its Q4, which was Q2 for many companies. Then it only dipped 1% in its most recently reported quarter. And Wall Street clearly looked beyond these headline numbers to its booming e-commerce segment. So Nike's digital sales were up 75% in Q4 and 82% last quarter. And if we look ahead, Nike is projected to return to top-line growth this quarter with bigger gains expected after that. So Zach's estimates are calling for the sports apparel giant's adjusted fiscal 2021 earnings to soar 77% on 13% stronger revenue this year. The company is then projected to follow this growth up with another 30% earnings growth on 11% higher sales. This would clearly mark an impressive return to growth after its 2020 sales dipped about 4.4%. Obviously, that huge quarter of declines of 38% really made that 4.4% decline happen. So if we look ahead, both its 2021 and 2022 estimates of 13 and 11% sales growth would represent Nike's best sales growth since fiscal 2012. So Zach's estimates are calling for some impressive top-line growth this year and next for Nike, and Nike's longer-term earnings revisions also help it grab a Zach's ranked number one strong buy right now. And it is part of an industry that rests in the top 20% over 250 Zacks industries. And if we look at brokerage recommendations, which we have here at Zacks, currently 19 of the 25 recommendations come in at a strong buy for Nike. The stock currently sits right near its new records, which it hit this morning, and its dividend yield is at about 0.77%, which falls now at this point below the 10-year U.S. Treasury heading into the holiday shopping season. So Nike seems like a worthwhile play as part of a broader transition in how people are dressing both to and from work. And now with people maybe working from home for longer than people expected, Nike could cash in on that as well. And obviously they've been ahead of the curve on this digital push for its higher margin direct-to-consumer business. And lastly, we're going to take a look at the Boston Beer Company, which trades under the ticker SAM, S-A-M. So the Boston Beer Company was one of the founding fathers of the craft beer era, and the growth of Samuel Adams really helped it go public back in the mid-90s. In these days, the Boston Beer Company is benefiting from a different drinking revolution, and this is the explosion of the hard seltzer market that has benefited Sam and some other companies as well. You have companies galore diving into this hard seltzer market. So we're going to just quickly go back over the company and then look ahead to what they're doing. So Boston Beer's expanded portfolio beyond it's more what it's not, they're not hardly considered craft as much anymore because they're so big, but it goes far beyond just that, those Sam Adams beers. So they also own Twisted Tea and some cider companies, and the company completed its acquisition of craft beer maker Dogfish Head Brewery in July of 2019. But maybe more importantly than all, the company rolled out its Truly Hard Seltzer in April of 2016. The category has exploded since then, and Truly is currently the number two player in the space behind only White Claw, which is owned by Mike's Hard Lemonade owner, Mark Anthony Brands. So both Truly, which is Boston Beer's brand, and White Claw kind of got a head and out to a big head start in a market that's now booming, where you have everyone from Budweiser rolling out Bud Light Hard Seltzer and Coors Seltzer and everything under the sun, Corona Seltzer. All of the players in the industry are rolling out their own seltzer. You even have Coke, who's going to roll out not a Coke branded, but a Coke owned hard seltzer for their first alcohol in forever, especially in the United States. So if we look back, the company's founder had said of the hard seltzer revolution that it's, quote, really once in a generation, and there hasn't been anything like this that's got to scale so fast since light beer 40 years ago. So that's where the hard seltzer market is at the moment. The company has also rolled out Truly Lemonade, so a different version of this seltzer category as well. And the company noted on our earnings call earlier in the year that Truly has higher income households, younger buyers, and more diverse ethnically buying households and more sourcing from wine and spirits than what they were comparing to White Claw. So that's a good sign for its long-term growth. So looking back, Boston Beer's sales dipped by around 5% in 2017 and 2016. So right as they were rolling out Truly, and since then they've bounced back in a big way. So its 2018 revenue climbed over 15%. Its 2019 revenue was up 26%, and it recently topped our estimates just last week. So its Q3 estimates, with sales up 30%. So the company's now done 30% or higher sales in the last four quarters, did 30% this most recent quarter, 42% growth before that, 31% growth before that, 34% growth before that, 23% before that. So big growth for Boston Beer, and it's being heavily driven by Truly. And now looking ahead, our Zacks estimates are calling for the company's sales to jump 51% this quarter and another 50% next quarter, with its full year revenue expected to climb 39% this year and then another 32% next year. So really big sustained growth we're calling for from Sam. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for its current quarter adjusted earnings to jump 146%, with its full year earnings expected to climb 63% and then another 56% next year. So big top and bottom line growth that's going to continue to be driven by this newer seltzer category that's continuing to expand, and you have everyone in the industry trying to get their piece of it. And luckily Boston Beer was at the forefront of this most recent alcohol and beer revolution. Aside from its good outlook, the company's earnings revision activity helps it grab a Zacks ranked number one strong buy right now, alongside an A grade for growth and a B for momentum in our style score system. And the company is also part of an industry that rests in the top 30% of our Zacks industries. The stock is up over 180% in the last 12 months. And clearly investors might want to consider Sam as both a near-term coronavirus play, as alcohol sales have continued to go up as more people are stuck at home and all of that. And then obviously it's also a bet on just the continuation of a market that is the closest thing to the light beer revolution as anyone's seen. And clearly there's a reason why all of these companies are trying to get their piece of the pie, as seltzer might be here to stay. And it's clearly seems like more than just the fad if they're going to be able to do this kind of sustained sales growth for a few years in a row. So with that said, that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.